Okay, we are in the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 18. As you well know, Jesus was popular. He was drawing crowds of people, for sure. Not just because of what he did. It is pretty impressive to give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and raise the dead to life again. Absolutely, that's going to draw a crowd. But because of what he said, a lot of times he was blowing minds, including the Jewish leaders. The Jewish religious leaders and the Sanhedrin, the authority in Jerusalem, saw Jesus as a threat to them. Even though he did follow the law. When he healed the leper, he told the leper, go to the priest, the temple priest, bring the appropriate offering, and do that so you're fulfilling, let the priest bless you and declare you clean. You are fulfilling the tenets of the law. They saw Jesus as a threat. They believed that getting rid of one guy was better than him destroying Judaism as they understood it. So they needed to hand him over to the Romans, because although they were allowed to adjudicate their own legal issues, they were only allowed to do so up to the death penalty. They were not allowed by the Romans to put anyone to death. Only Rome could do that. So they needed to charge Jesus with an offense so egregious that the Romans would agree to put him to death. They charged him with sedition, with challenging Caesar as a king, and they brought him to the Romans, to Pontius Pilate, to the governor, and that's where we find him in chapter 18 this morning. Would you please join me in the unison prayer as we prepare to study the Word of God? Let us pray. Lord, upon the pages of this book is your story. It is also our story. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, our minds that we may understand, and our hearts that they may be transformed, in Jesus' name. Chapter 18, verse 28. Jesus' trial before Caiaphas ended in the early hours of the morning. Then he was taken to the headquarters of the Roman governor. His accusers didn't go inside because it would defile them, and they wouldn't be allowed to celebrate the Passover. So Pilate, the governor, went out to them and asked, "What is your charge against this man?" "We wouldn't have handed him over to you if he weren't a criminal," they retorted, kind of circular logic there. "Then take him away and judge him by your own law," Pilate told them. "Only the Romans are permitted to execute someone," the Jewish leaders replied. This fulfilled Jesus' prediction about the way he would die. Then Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. "Are you the King of the Jews?" he asked him. Jesus replied, "Is this your own question? Or did others tell you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate retorted. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." May God bless to our reading and understanding his holy and inspired word. So obviously the Jewish leaders did not see Jesus as the Messiah. Why? Well, there are two primary reasons. Number one, he did not recognize their authority to the degree that they wanted him to. They wanted him to bend the knee to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. They wanted control over what he taught, where, and to whom. Jesus wasn't about that. His message was for everyone. And his interpretation of the law, in many cases, was different than theirs. They didn't see him as submitting to their authority. That's number one. Number two, they were expecting a warrior, someone who was going to bring an army to the gates of Jerusalem and rebel and overthrow their Roman oppressors. That's the Messiah that they believe was supposed to come. Now, the funny thing about this is I have heard that explanation my whole life, all through school. They were expecting a warrior. They were expecting a military leader. And since Jesus wasn't fitting that bill, they didn't see him as the Messiah. And the funny thing was, I didn't even realize it until like a week or so ago. That's not in the Bible anywhere. In no place in the Old Testament, in no book, does it ever say the Messiah needed to be a warrior. That was just something they thought they needed because they believed their problem was Rome. Jesus shows up and he's trying to explain to them, your problem isn't Rome. Your problem is not who's in charge. It never has been. It wasn't your problem when the Assyrians invaded and were in charge. It wasn't a problem when the Babylonians overtook the Assyrians and they were in charge and they were your overlords. It wasn't the problem when the Persians invaded and took over Babylon. And it's not Rome today. Jesus says, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. You are too concerned about who's in charge. Who's in charge is not the problem. Your problem is sin. That's what I came to take care of. Sadly to me, as we go through these weeks of anguish and strife and violence and protest, I feel like we're falling into the same trap. As soon as we encounter injustice, we turn for a political solution. And a political solution is not the solution. Jesus is clearly saying it's not the Assyrians, it's not the Babylonians, it's not the Persians, it's not the Romans, it's not the problem about who's in charge. That's not the issue. And it's been that way in this country since the beginning. This stuff that we're experiencing in our country right now, this is not new. Are you familiar with the Cicero race riot of 1951? A mob of 4,000 whites attacked an apartment building because a single black family moved into the neighborhood in Cicero, Illinois. Caused a race riot. Who was in charge? President Harry S. Truman, Democrat. How about the Battle of Hayes Pond? The Battle of Hayes Pond was an armed confrontation between the Ku Klux Klan and Native Americans near Maxton, North Carolina, January 18, 1958. Who was the president? Dwight D. Eisenhower. Republican. What about the Birmingham riot in 1963, where bombs were planted in the parsonage of Reverend A.D. King, brother of Martin Luther King Jr.? and a motel where King and others were organizing the protest had stayed. It is believed that the bombings were carried out by the Ku Klux Klan with the help of the Birmingham Police Department. Who was in charge? Who was president? John Fitzgerald Kennedy, Democrat. What about the Watts riots in Los Angeles in 1965? 34 people died. President, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Democrat. I lived through the Kent State riots in 1970, where 4 students were killed. The following year, the Attica State Prison had a race riot. 39 people died. Who was the president? Richard Milhouse Nixon, Republican. How about the Humboldt Park riot in 1977, the second major conflict between Puerto Ricans and the Chicago Police Department? Who was the president? Jimmy Carter, Democrat. In December 1982, Miami police shoot a black video game player inside an arcade. Riots ensue. Who was the president? Ronald Reagan, Republican. Wasn't that long ago for so many of us, the L.A. Rodney King riots in 1992. Los Angeles was being burned to the ground. 63 people died. President George Herbert Walker Bush, Republican. Puerto Rican Day parade attacks in New York City, June 2000. President William Jefferson Clinton, Democrat. 2005 Toledo riot. That wasn't that long ago. President George W. Bush, Republican. Flatbush riots, 2013. Ferguson riots, 2014. Baltimore riots, 2015. President Barack Obama, Democrat. What about Minnesota? What about Atlanta? President Donald Trump, Republican. You see my point? Nothing changes. Because there isn't a political solution, and we keep looking for a political solution. The problem is not who's in City Hall. It's not who's at the State House, not even who's in the White House. And the solution won't be found there either. It doesn't matter who's in charge. These are just a few examples. If you go online, you pull up Wikipedia, and you, which is what I did, and you type in race riots in the United States, you will be amazed at the list. We'd be here all afternoon. Because it doesn't matter who's in charge. Our problem is not the Assyrians, it's not the Babylonians, it's not the Persians, it's not Republicans, it's not Democrats. Our problem is also not legislative. Oftentimes we just think we've got to pass more laws. We already passed the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, the 14th, the 15th, and the 19th. Freed the slaves. Made them citizens. Gave them the right to vote. Those are the first three. And then 48 years later, we gave women the right to vote. Isn't that interesting? Freed slaves got the vote before you ladies did, by almost 50 years. Then we passed the Civil Rights Acts of 1964 and 1968. That's going to solve the problem. Have a problem? Pass a law. Today, federal law prohibits discrimination based upon a person's national origin, race, color, religion, disability, sex, familial status, ancestry, culture, or language. So why is this still happening? I don't understand. We passed a law. We've changed who's in charge several times. Sometimes I think passing a law is just too easy. Because we just get to get together, we get to, you know, vote and say, okay, we passed a law. And we wash our hands and go home and say, problem solved. It's not. And it won't be with another law. And yet, when it happens again, I don't know, like moths to a flame, we get sucked in again to politics. Politics is not the solution. Frequently, they are the problem. One of the best lines Ronald Reagan ever had, I think, was when he said, there's nothing worse than somebody knocking on your door and saying, hi, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Do you think this is why Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to God what is God's? But we get wrapped up in party, in politics, even though it doesn't work. Albert Einstein said, the definition of an insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I fancied myself for many years. You guys know I'm a history geek. I love history. I'm also a bit of a political geek. I watched all the shows, read all the newspapers. I could discuss policy till your ears fell off. But nothing ever changed. Nothing ever seemed to matter. All it did was raise my blood pressure and get me angry. So what I decided, seemingly way too late, I decided to stop. I'm done with this insanity. The problem is not in charge. Is not who's in charge. The problem is the same today as it was when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate. The problem is sin. The problem is hard hearts. The problem is nations won't change until hearts have been changed. And there's only one person who can change a heart and deal with our sin, and his name is Jesus Christ. It hurts my heart to see people so passionately screaming their political views, which doesn't work. And yet those same people, I never see passion to share the gospel, which does work. I'll invite you to a rally, I'll invite you to a protest, but Lord forbid, I'll never invite you to church. Why? Jesus said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go and make Democrats. Go and make Republicans. He said, go and make disciples. And that's not going to happen through the ballot box, through voting. It hasn't since 1788 when we had our first presidential election. It only happens through transformation. And there is no political party, there is no politician, and there is no law that leads to transformation. That was the epiphany I had over these past couple of months. I have stopped watching my shows. I have stopped reading the articles because it doesn't matter. I will vote. I will think all of us should vote. There are too many people who have given their lives for our right to exercise our vote and choose our leaders, but I want to see real change. I'm done with the insanity. And real change begins in two places, in my opinion. I mentioned last week, it begins by looking in a mirror. Is there something about me that I need to change? That's where I need to start. And number two, I need to focus on what works. That's not politics. That's not politicians. You see, God reminded me over these past couple of months, first, of his sovereignty. God is sovereign. Do we understand what that means? God is in charge of it all. Nothing happens that he either doesn't allow or cause. God is sovereign. That's why in Romans 13, we read, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. I don't know who's going to win in November. I will vote. But I do believe in the sovereignty of God. So if Joe Biden wins, that was God's will. The president is reelected. That was God's will. I believe God is sovereign. Number two, there's only 168 hours in a week, friends. How am I going to spend it? Part of it I'm going to sleep. Some of it I'm going to eat. Probably too much of that than I should. But there's only 168 hours in a week. What am I going to do with my time? Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. That's my job. To seek and save those are lost. Jesus has ascended to heaven. The body of Christ that exists now on earth, there's a name for it. The Bible tells us. It's called the Ecclesia. Otherwise known as the church. We are his hands and feet. We are supposed to fulfill the rest of his commission, which is to seek and save those who are lost. Not to spend time fighting for a political party or person. My job, I understood clearly over these past couple of months, is to seek and save those who are lost. And anyone who professes themselves to be a Christ follower, that's your job too. We need to share the gospel. Because his kingdom is not of this world. Thy kingdom come, we pray, Lord. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That's the only thing that matters to me anymore. Because that's the only thing that works. It's the only thing that will change hearts. I'm done with the insanity. I got one person I'm voting for. His name is Jesus. I only have 168 hours in a week, and I want my passion and I want my energy spent seeking and saving those who are lost, spent sharing the gospel, spent making disciples of all the nations. Everything else I leave to and trust to my sovereign God. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done. I'm here to serve you. Would you stand and pray with me?